Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. And here we are back in the studio, herding cats once again. You know, it is a real challenge getting ice pros to do what you want them to do when there's no damn ice. It's kind of frustrating, and it gets warmer, and then it rains, and it's...
Just keep putting new ice gear in front of us, and we're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sponsors, if you're listening, send more gear, because
keeping
I can...
us preoccupied.
Shiny object.
Yeah, it's like dangling carrots. Like, you get me to do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack brought us some new toys, and they're playing with them now. There's no ice, so they're just going to fondle them
Should've
for a bit.
An orange one.
But for those of you that are listening, we are the MI Ice Guys with no ice. But we're dreaming of ice fishing, but we wanted to get with you and explain what's going on in the season, what we've heard, what we know about new equipment, and some different things like that. So let's get going on some stuff. The weather.
Weather's been warm.
Weather sucks.
Weather sucks.
Deer season was warm.
Anthony's still in the river.
Deer suck.
Deer have not been cooperating excessively. So
I hunt for fins, so.
Yeah. Steph and I, we both bagged a couple of deer, and so season's pretty much done unless this weather really doesn't play out, and then we're going to get the smoke poles out.
So we're going to get some jerky going then, or?
Oh, should try the salami Steph got done.
Oh,
it's
I'm
good.
Ready.
That's tasty.
I'm ready.
And stop by the house.
I'm going to make up some of my own. We decided that in addition to the conclusion we made in our last episode of bringing the stuff to make beer batter.
Yes.
Latvia.
Overseas, yeah.
We're going to smuggle if it makes it through TSA. I think TSA is going to see those salami logs of venison and say, ooh, confiscated.
Yep. I'll wrap them in lead.
I'm going to wrap them in something. I'm going to stick them in my boot.
These lead tubes, they'll go through
boot.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, we're planning on having some presents for our Latvian friends when we get over to Europe.
Speaking of food.
Food.
We were talking about maybe throwing some recipes up on our website as well.
Yeah.
For beer batter and... the different dry mixes we use for our fillets.
Yeah, we've come to the conclusion that deep frying fish the same way over and over again tends to bore a lot of people. And, Anthony's exploring some new options now that he's an expectant father and having to cook different things for this sensitive tummy.
She can't really have a lot of fish right now. She can't have any of the salmon. Yeah, she can't have steelhead, you know, anything. And we got to be real careful with the whitefish.
What about the panfish?
She can have panfish.
Yes.
Get us some ice.
Yes.
This woman's going to get in the cranky part of pregnancy soon. And Anthony's going to need to catch some panfish.
She's been awesome, though. She hasn't had any bad side effects or hasn't thrown up once, actually. So
if you guys out there listening have an absolutely wonderful recipe for fish, panfish, something other than batter and fry.
Yeah, what's your favorite brine for smoking?
Send
all
us
the
something.
Way down to your best way to... even just grill fish, it doesn't matter.
You can use the Ask a Ice Guy forum that's on the website, or just send us an email at report@miiceguys.com, and we'll take a look at it, and you might even be lucky enough to be included. If you throw a picture in with it, it'll probably be more motivation to put it up on the site. But we've got, Steph and I were just rambling on one night after deer hunting. We've got a lot of different recipes. We've showed off a few of those recipes to different people.
We were sitting there eating bluegill, and Chaz is like, hey, you got to write this recipe down.
You got to try Steph's beer batter. It is absolutely amazing.
And it's different every time.
Yes.
It's never bad.
So it's always great. If you ever get a chance, have Steph cook you up some fish.
Well, if you happen to be in Latvia, Chaz and Steph are going to be chefing. I already reached out to our good buddy Einars and said, dude, we got to talk about some frying equipment because we want to do beer batter when we're over there. I told Steph, I'll bring the fillet knife. We'll be ready to go. We're going to...
some roach and some breams fried up.
Redfin perch.
Maybe some redfin perch for you would be better.
Perch. Well, I'm not going, so you guys have fun.
Well, I hear the bream is best done with like cauliflower and onions and things like that.
We had them smoked.
Cauliflower and yuck again. I smelled that. It smelled like...
they tasted better than I smelled.
It smelled like my shoe better. After I walked through my yard with three dogs.
Oh, man. You're busting me up here.
So what have you heard about that long-range weather forecast, Jess?
That long-range weather... I had some time Sunday afternoon because the deer were not bothering me in the blind.
So I burn up a battery on my phone, reading forecasts and projections and stuff. And if depending on who you listen to, one guy says it's going to snow like hell and be colder than ever. If you read the Farmer's Almanac or anybody that subscribes to that side of the world, then you got the guys that are in the climate change world that say we're never getting ice again because, you know, I drive a diesel truck.
Those liberals.
Yeah, those people. They must hate us fishermen. I don't know what's up with them. But at least Chad didn't buy a hybrid when he bought his new truck.
Nope.
But it is cooling off slowly. The nights are staying cooler, so water temps are down. Anthony, have you taken the temperature in the river lately?
I have not. Not in the last couple of days, but I do know the Muskegon fell like 3 or 4 degrees over the last week. So
that's a good sign.
It's a big swing for the moving water. So
yeah, and if moving water is doing that, the lakes that we're going to be fishing that are the moderate to shallows are probably going to be dropping really quick. And mm-hmm. So when we do get those sub-freezing nights, those lakes ought to lock up pretty decent.
I was on a lake. Actually, I wasn't on the lake, but a buddy of mine was on the lake and did a little side imaging, possibly for an upcoming tournament. Maybe not, though. You just never know. And I think he said the temperature was at about 40 degrees. So
40? That's coming down. We need it down a couple more degrees.
Yep. But
we're coming up on the 1st of December here.
It's a big body of water, so I wouldn't expect it to be one of the first ones to freeze. You know, it's up by Houghton, so.
Yeah.
All right, maybe it was for a tournament.
Yeah, okay. We don't need to delve too deep into that. We all know which lake you're talking about. But some of the things that we want to talk about today, you know, in addition to the weather, when we get into that first ice, you're going to have to be super careful.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to want to run right out there. And, man, if I could never think of a better reason for a floating suit. Early ice.
Mm-hmm.
We all switched to floating suits, and Anthony was just saying that he's going to be selling off a lot of old suits that aren't floating. So if anybody needs one for deer hunting or sitting around.
Yep, I got some good suits. Some larges and extra larges. So get a hold of me on Facebook, whatever, if you got my number, call me.
Send the skinniest fat guy out there and have the rope ready.
But I love my Striker suit. You know, it keeps me floating. I haven't had a chance to test it yet, but hope I never do. But if I do, it's there. So
I rinsed mine off this summer.
Did you?
I jumped in to see.
Did it keep you up?
You pop like a bobber, man. Yeah. I jumped off my buddy's pontoon boat. I was sweating my butt off, right. You know, walking around in it. They tried to video it, but they screwed up the video. And I couldn't be responsible for that because I was the one getting wet. And you do get wet.
Well, of course.
I mean, I don't want anybody listening to have a false idea. This is not a dry suit or anything like that.
No. Right.
It is just strictly flotation.
I don't think there's a suit out there you can fall in the water and not get wet. You'll still suffer the hypothermia and the other stuff, but it'll at least keep you above water.
Yeah, and keep so you can get your active. Butt out. And
yeah. That's right, one of those North Sea survival suits.
Right. Well, I know Fraybill has a Coast... I think Fraybill has the only Coast Guard approved suit. I haven't done enough research into it, but...
I got a feeling it's got a Coast Guard size number on it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For a price.
Yep.
But, you know, the biggest thing is get out of the water. And even if you're rescuing it, I can't reiterate enough. Get them to shore. Get them dry. Get them out of that suit. Get them out of everything. I switched a few years ago after going through, well, to the bottom of the boxers, we'll say. And I stood there, you know, mostly naked on a boat ramp trying to change into jeans. And jeans do not slip on over wet, cold legs. So do yourself a favor. Grab an extra old hoodie. Grab a pair of sweatpants. Pair of slip-on shoes, just some stuff to throw on, you know, get the wet stuff off. There's going to be no modesty. Nobody's going to see your junk from across the lake when you're that cold. But get into something dry, get into the truck, get it started, get home. It's even better if you got a buddy with you to help you and make sure that you aren't going to, you know, have a freaking episode and drop over, pass out or anything. Because if you've been in the water a long time, that's scary business.
Oh, yeah. Friend to help is always. I never go on to early ice alone. That's just not, you know, I'm not old, but I'm getting up there, and I don't need any incidents now with a kid coming and all that.
So yeah, yeah.
Early ice is always nice to have somebody out there with you.
So we've also got some seminars coming up. Now, I know that a lot of you guys that listen attend several of our seminars, and Steph and I and Anthony and even Chad, if he remembers to come, is going to be participating with us at a number of the seminars that are coming up. We did book Alan Bob's. That's coming up this Thursday.
Yep.
December 1st, for those of you not listening right immediately. at Allen Bob's, and I talked to Scott DeVries today, and he says everything's coming in. He says it's last minute, but everything's coming in. There's all kinds of new stuff. He may be selling out of boxes of stuff, but he's going to have stuff to sell. And he said that he's going to put a percentage off on everything there.
Yeah,
hasn't promised me a number yet on exactly what that percentage is, but he usually gives a real good deal. K&E will be there representing K&E, and they always do the buy three jigs, get one free. And they have some door prizes as well. So if you come on down, sign up. It's going to be Allen Bob's. I think we're there from like 5 to 8 on Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's a good time.
Grilling Guys.
Grilling Guys coming out this year.
Yeah, they're promising us some sliders.
Any walleye this year? Yeah, that walleye last year was fantastic.
Well, you know, they always base off of what the guys at Allen Bob's in the back room
bring
for game. And they can cook. Well, those boys bring out some nice grills and they do some stuff up. So
yeah, they always got great food. I'm always looking forward to it every year. So,
and if you get there early and set up front, you're going to be close to the food table. So you got a shot at it.
Chad and I will be there, and Steph, you know, everybody will be there. So
yeah, we're going to have the whole gang at that one. Huh. Then we've got on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be down to DNR Sports in Kalamazoo, working the K&E booth and doing a few seminars down there on both days. Our good buddy Bill Ferris is going to be down there too. Telling some Whopper stories about some Whopper panfish he gets out towards the center of the state. And you've never seen a good exaggeration until you hear a Bill Ferris story. He loves the spin of yarn. Mm-hmm. He's very entertaining to listen to, but he has some great knowledge in there as well. Then while we were deer hunting, Steph and I, we had to go on down to one of our favorite spots for lunch. And that's just right around the corner from Sadler's Great Outdoors in Six Lakes. And talked to Jamie there and his wife, and they're all excited to have us over on the 7th of January. So if you're out in Central State, that's going to be an opportunity for you to come over that evening on a Saturday night. Enjoy the time we have over there. Jamie's promised to put some deals on. We're going to have the
chili.
Yeah, they had some boosters group or something bring some chili, and we've also got some other offers. Somebody bring some food. So
yeah, a chili contest last time.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. So we've got that cooking, and I talked to our buddy Duran this morning. Duran has a line that there may be a location in Lansing.
Sweet.
That we're going to go do another seminar. So we're looking at seeing what's available, locations and stuff around the area that can hold, you know, between 50 and 100 guys. We'll come over, talk some ice fishing. Sponsors will kick in some prizes. We'll have a great time. Hopefully it's a place that's got a bar so we can get a little schmoes on tap and have a wonderful time with that. So there's no ice yet, guys, but we've got a lot of things planning. We've got a lot of gear opportunities coming. We've got some new items that have come out. Steph's holding in his hand right now the Rod Pod from K&E. This thing,
it's going to be fantastic.
It's super simple.
Yeah.
You like that green color?
Awesome stuff? Design.
That's the yellow color. The green's still over in the box.
Yeah, the green's in the box.
You got the red. Yeah, chartreuse. Like
one of my favorite Reed Lake colors.
Hey, you're not supposed to give out our secrets like that. But anyway.
I mean, hot pink.
Yeah. Oh, golden sparkle. We got every color under the sun.
You don't use bubble gum, do you, stuff?
Ah, no.
But anyway, there's a few other new items that are coming out this year. You're going to want to have a look at all of them. The new Scandia jigs that we talked about. Man, there's going to be a lot of opportunities. Come down to one of the seminars. They all have deals going on. You want to participate. If it's near you, come on by. What else are you going to do? There's no ice. Deer season's pretty much over. Unless you got your smoke pole out, and we go in after dark anyway. Don't get caught shining. But we're the Ice Guys. We're going to be right back after a short break to refill our beers, and we're going to talk about some great ideas about scouting. See you in a minute.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one, and my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
Hey, we're the MIS guys, and we're back with fresh beers. Everybody but Anthony, he's playing it cool tonight. He's got the long drive home. But anyway, we thought that we would spend a little time talking about scouting. Yeah, the ice isn't here yet. Maybe you haven't winterized the boat. Now, we stuffed Steph's over into a shed that literally was about a half inch extra on each side. I mean, you thought getting in his garage was tight? No. This little shed he rented was really tight. But
well, it's 10 by 25. I didn't think the boat was that big.
Yeah, but the door is only 9.
Yeah, and the boat's about 8.5.
And the trailer is the extra.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you still have access to a boat that you can throw in the water and get out there. Now, Anthony's been talking about to Steph about certain lakes that he wants to explore. Mm-hmm. Steph and I have done this in the past quite a few times. Get out there and explore those lakes. Now, Steph has a really fancy-ass Lowrance side imaging whoosie-whatsit. And boy, if we ever learn how to use it, we're going to be killer. But we go out and we check out these lakes. And we're looking for various things. Now, I think one of the number one things to look for out there is structure.
Yeah.
You know, you might find the rare hillbilly that's strapped some pallets together and built a crib out there. Or you might find somebody that's been dumping some Christmas trees. You might find a new fallen tree off a shoreline or something. Those are all structure that organisms that fish feed on all want to know where they are. That's where they feed. That's where they're going to continue to be even in when the ice comes in. So mapping out where those things are, everybody's got a GPS on their phone, right? And if you've listened to this program for any time at all, you've probably got a GPS app that yep. saves waypoints installed on your phone. If you don't, pause and go do that right now because that's very important stuff.
Navionics makes a great product.
Navionics yeah. is one of the greatest that we all have installed on our phones, as well as some other apps.
$10, it's invaluable.
Oh, it's awesome. It gives you depths. It gives you bottom contours. It'll also give you a lot of what the bottom's made up of. Is it muck bottom? Is it gravel bottom? Sand bottom? And we all know that those different areas produce different kinds of fish and different kinds of feeding habits and things. And you want to know where those things are in the winter.
And those fish finders on your boats allow you to verify that navionics info because some lakes you're going to find are a little bit off because yeah. they're going off old biometric data from all these DNR maps that are 50 years old.
When they use the string.
And yeah. winds and currents and silts. And
you
know, yep.
The lake bottom's constantly changing. So
now with these new fancy fish finders, some of them, you can even make your own maps with yeah. them.
Building your own map would
but
be the
Lowrance.
We got to figure out how to interface that to a computer. Download that data. But, you know, Anthony had mentioned earlier about some side imaging and even getting out your camera. Dropping your AquaView over the side of the boat and taking a look at what's down there is going to give you a better idea of what you're fishing on. Even springs. I noticed that after we mapped out one of our favorite lakes, those springs affect suspended fish. And knowing where the spring is.
Yeah, bringing that fresh oxygen into the lake.
It was killer. It put us right on them. We walked over. When you're not getting them in the normal haunts, you go over and you start working other structures, other things. Mm-hmm. That spring's a disturbance. It's moving water, so it's probably going to be a little bit more organism active. It's pushing stuff up from the bottom. It's a lot of good information. Get a notebook. Get out there and write down all these things. Mark them in your navionics or whatever GPS app you decide to use off your smartphone. I mean, besides taking pictures of deer and fish, that phone's got to be good for something else, except telling the wife you'll be home in another half hour.
You can drop waypoints and such.
Yeah.
On late season, out there in the boat, marking any last growth weed beds that are still up and growing well.
Weed beds are huge.
And those are going to hold the fish.
This time of year, the fish are not going to go far from when the ice is on to where they are now. So yep. if you find a big school of crappies right now, or you know a bunch of bluegills laying in some grass, they're going to be there when the ice comes. And
probably for the first third of the year.
Yeah. Yep. Until the
oxygen levels change.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And
the weeds die off.
Till they
then they'll
dive
move
deep.
Out.
Yep. Midwinter patterns, they typically dive to the deeper water, just off the weed beds, just off your points. So.
And that's what those cameras are good for, is for checking those weeds. And you'll notice some will die off before others, because some may have more snow cover, so they've died off. The fish are going to stick to those green weeds till the last hour, then they're going to move out and suspend.
And, you know, using your camera to find out what kind of weeds and making a note of that is going to yep. be really helpful.
I just like fresh weeds, you know. If it looks like there hadn't been a breeze through there in a while, and possibly there's all kinds of stuff hanging off the weeds, you know, it just looks brown and dead, and you don't actually see a single fish. It's probably a good idea to maybe call that weed bed quits and get out of there.
Yeah, if you've got the equipment, go use it. Give you something to do. Get out there. Take the kids, you know. Throw them in the boat. They can bundle up in their snowsuits. Mom will love getting them out of the house. go out and do a little exploring. If you turn it into a game with the kids where they're enjoying looking at the pictures, it's going to be a fun time to do that. And you're going to look good in front of your buddies when you know where to go on the lake.
Mm-hmm. I used to say, use your fish finder to find out why, or excuse me, to find out where. Use your AquaView camera to figure out why. But with today's electronics, you know, you can do both with just the fish finder alone. But it'll never hurt to just drop your AquaView down and get an actual picture of what's going on there real time.
And it doesn't have to be the fancy new micro, $600. You can pick up an old one.
$25, you can find them on Craigslist or whatever, you know, the old fish style cameras. And
oh, yeah, the ones that looked like little bluegill. Mm-hmm. Those things were great.
Well, they were awesome. Just don't leave them on your car when you leave because they don't like that fall.
Put them inside the car.
Yeah, inside the car. Most gear rides better. Pro tip right here. Rides better in the car when you're done with it.
Steph and I drive pickup trucks so that it's a big contained box you can just toss things in.
Well, I drive a Escape now, but for a while I was driving around an awesome Escort.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to let that one lie right there. Another thing you can do with that AquaView is verifying what the bottom is. You know, knowing where those gravel beds are. If you're perching, a little bit of gravel, a little bit of sand, knowing where the difference is between those and muck bottoms are going to give you, you know, muck bottoms, you're going to be in the gobies. You're going to be in the little crap.
Yep, and then you can do the side view and down view. You can actually look for holes in the muck for bloodworms escaping. The holes in the muck would actually be probably not bloodworms, but they would be mayflies.
Yeah, larvae coming out.
Yeah.
But doing some looking around and taking some notes, you know, a cheap notebook is going to be invaluable when you're planning out your fishing trip, trying to figure out those things.
Well, just add those first to your waypoints on your phone.
Adding them to your waypoints, or if you don't want to type in big, long explanations in there, just put a keyword in there. Or, you know, they auto number, so, you know, waypoint number 77.
It's the biggest trick to scouting, in my opinion, and the biggest thing that I try to work on is just do not get married to one spot. There's so much water, you have to go, you have to look, you have to keep pushing. So if you find something, you drop down, you see it, okay, good, mark it, and get out of there. Just keep going. There's no need for you to sit on it and study it and catch every fish that's there. That's actually the part that I'm talking about, is catching every fish that's there.
Well, an added bonus is you get to burn some of that old fuel out of the boat that maybe you didn't get burned out this, and put some fresh, nice stuff in there before you put the boat away for the winter.
And if you're in the boat, just fun fishing and scouting, that's one thing. I guess I'm more talking tournament fishing than anything. Because when I scout, that's mainly what I'm only scouting for, is for tournaments.
Yeah, others that'll find them and just sit there and beat them up for hours on end. It's like, dude, go find another spot.
It is amazing on Saturday when people, I would never name any names, when people find the fish that, you know, you've kind of known where they are all week, and they'll just sit on it and just pound it and pound it and pound it. And after the tournament on Sunday, they talked to them, and it was like, man, we were killing them all week. I don't know what happened. Tournament day rolled around, and they were gone.
You caught them all.
Yeah. Right. You sore-lipped them all, and you pushed them out to where I'm fishing. And it worked out glorious.
Yes.
Well, sometimes it works out like that.
But the big idea is there are some activities that you can do this fall to get in the mood of ice fishing. Get prepared. Because, you know, you take that buddy from work that's just getting into ice fishing. You know, the sucker that's going to buy all the bait. He's going to buy the donuts and everything. You want to show him fish, because then next week he'll buy the donuts and the bait and everything again. Maybe they'll even buy the beer when you're cleaning fish. It'd be awesome. But being able to show those guys that you actually have done your homework, you know what you're doing, you got the right equipment. You didn't just go down to Cabela's and get, you know, enough points to get a new car or something and don't know how to use this stuff. You actually know what's going on.
Yeah.
Scouting's a big part of that.
Well, get out there and explore your horizons. Don't just go to that always go-to lake. Go try some other lakes and find some new hot spots and some new fish. Learn some new areas.
Walk out to your hot spot, hit it for an hour or two, you know, get your fish. You know, that way it wasn't a wasted trip if that's how you view fishing, you know. But
there's lots of water out there.
Yeah, go explore some other stuff. Get on your Navionics that we were just talking about. Find a spot that looks very similar to that. And go see if those weeds are over there. More than likely, they're going to be. And more than likely, you're going to find an awesome, awesome spot.
Well, I'll tell you, observing some of the world's greatest fishermen at the World Championships the last 2 years, those guys, almost all of them, carry a notebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they take a lot of notes. Now, at the Worlds, you don't get to use electronics, but they're taking a lot of notes about what happened, what they bite on, how deep were they, everything like that. you can translate that into your Michigan fishing very easily by just doing the research. Get out there, have some fun, use the boat, put on your ice suit. You feel like you're fishing. Right over the side of the boat, practice with your flasher.
Bring your flasher. Yeah. Right now is the best time to get out. I mean, if you want to fight, go hook into some of those crappies with your 2 pound and on your flasher right under the boat.
Right over the side of the boat.
You get them 8-9 inch bluegills, they're gonna zing drag. I almost guarantee it. They're still hot right now because the temperature hasn't fallen.
So it's going to be gonna a break wild time. Yeah. They will find that your old sun-dried crispy line needs changing.
It does. Mm-hmm.
And you can look into some of that brand new Sunline FC. Sunline FC Ice. They're promising me that we're going to have that for the Alan Bob seminar. So we'll get to actually play with that and see it. Rob's supposed to send us some to play with. I'm waiting. And Rob, if you're listening, send the line. Hey, when we come back, we're going to delve into one of the nerdier aspects of ice fishing. I like to do research every once in a while. My pet project lately has been oxygen. So we're going to get into that in the next segment. We're the MI Ice Guys. If you see ice, let us know. We'll drive all over the state to get to it.
Post it on the ice map.
Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you and you need the best. Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys and we're back. Anthony's tying a jig on, just, I think, out of habit. He just needs something to do with his fingers.
Get used to tying these hooks. Up.
Yeah, just get used to it. Practice them all. He wasn't approving of one of my rig ups, and so he's fixing it for me.
It was garbage.
Yeah, well, you know.
Stripping old line off.
It would break every time I'd look at it.
Yeah, we're not even on the ice.
I told him it's good, though. I stripped off 10 feet. That should be plenty. It's just a little frayed.
Just a little. Yeah. Well, hopefully that new line sponsor will come on board and
2 pound test, you'll be good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
As somebody I know says, let the fish tell you when to retie.
That wasn't me.
Nope. No.
But anyway, we promised to come back and to have a little bit of a technical chat about oxygen. I did some reading, a lot of reading, about oxygen in lakes and different things. Now, I think it's all pretty common knowledge that once the lake freezes over, that you're going to have you put a lid on it. There's a cap on it. So you're not going to get the aeration of boats going across it, streams flowing into it, things like that.
Wind wave action.
Wind wave action.
Yep.
So you're pretty much relying on residual oxygen that's dissolved in the water. Now, everybody knows that all animals need oxygen to live. They got to breathe. Fish do it through their gills. Mm-hmm. Plants, however, take in CO2 and produce oxygen. So, like we were talking about in the last segment, figuring out how the plant life is doing in a lake, where the plant life is going to lead you to that oxygen.
Yep.
Now, one of the articles that I was reading was talking about the different depths of water and how the different oxygen levels portray out in that, and how to kind of tell what kind of oxygen levels you're going to have. If there's no vegetation in a lake and it's a very deep lake, probably not a lot of oxygen. But a super shallow lake that has a lot of green vegetation, it's probably going to play out pretty fast because there's just not a lot of water capacity in that lake.
That's where you get some of your freeze-offs or your fish kills on your shallow lakes.
And, you know, you're probably going to have a moderate level of weeds in there. Now, if you've only got weeds right towards the shore, most of you guys have your couple of favorite lakes. You fish them in the winter, you fish them in the summer, you take your kids swimming in them, you know that lake. And depending on the water depth, the water, how fast it drops off and everything, you're going to know where the weed beds are. If there are weed beds, especially like sunken islands, we have a lake up in Trufant that we fish, and there's a number of spots in that lake that have different foliage in them, different depths, And by knowing those, you got an idea where to go in the lake. Steph's dad's lake, right out in front of his cabin there. We pretty much got that sucker mapped out. We know exactly where everything is and where the weeds are and the weeds that stay during the winter and the weeds that don't. Now, when, as Anthony was talking about, with the fish that move deep, as the weeds on shore start dying off, well, those weeds are probably going to get less light. They're real close to the surface, so it's getting a lot colder. But as you go deeper, it's going to hold the oxygen because the fish haven't been there to consume it. If nothing's there consuming it,
yeah,
you got it. Now, Steph also brought up another point when we were sipping beer on the intermission. As plants start to decompose, they start to, well, number one, they're not producing oxygen anymore.
Nope.
And number two, they start actually consuming oxygen. And I corrected him. It's not actually the plant. It's the organisms that are eating the plants. The little microbiologicals that are, they're little bugs and larvae and such that are consuming the oxygen while they eat the dead plant matter. Mucky bottoms. That's where mucky bottoms come from. But that's also where a lot of those larvae are. So by doing some study, and we talked about using your AquaView to know these lakes, know the depths, you can really figure out where the oxygen is going to be and how to predict where the fish are going to be. Now, one of the very interesting articles that I read talked about why the crappie go suspended. Well, they suspend out over the top of the stagnant water up in a layer between thermoclines where there's still oxygen. And they have a thing called lake stratification where there's different levels and it works on these thermal planes. So it just kind of slides. The oxygen rich water stays in a certain band. Sorry. Up too close to the ice, not so much oxygen. Real deep, not so much oxygen. But in the middle, in that band, there's oxygen.
You big lake guys will kind of get this a little more with the thermoclines that you chase in Lake Michigan for the salmon.
Exactly. When you're out there chasing the salmon and the lakers and stuff, and you know those playing those breaks, that's where the bait fish are. Mm-hmm. Same kind of theories, except on the ice, things move a little bit slower. Now, another, just I know you love fun facts there, Anthony, and buzzwords and stuff. Do you know the temperature where water is the densest in its liquid form?
I don't.
Don't hurt yourself on this. 4 degrees Celsius or 39 Fahrenheit okay. is where water is thick and it moves. Now, we've talked in the past about, you know, a lot of people talk about scents on their baits. And one of the problems I've always had on it, taking it from a scientific standpoint, is when the water's that thick and things get, it's common fact, things get slower at a molecular level when they get colder. That's why I'm not a real big proponent of smells and things. Ice fishing, that water's pretty thick. It's not going to move that smell to the fish. Maybe when they get real close and taste it and actually lay lips on it, you might have something there. But as an attractant, I think color and visual is a bigger thing with that.
I do too. You know, sometimes you get a big bluegill that'll come in and just, I mean, he'll be within a half inch from your bait and he's just looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. I think sometimes maybe if you could get a nostril flaring or something other than just his eyes interested in the bait, he has a more chance of eating it. But I don't think that you're going to drop some scent, a scent flavored bait and call in a school of fish.
No, I think that better focusing on colors. And I think there also size is a big thing. But the first battle of the scientific is knowing where to start looking for fish.
Size is actually my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Color to me isn't as important, in my opinion.
Uncle Myron gave me a piece of advice way back.
He gave us all that advice.
If it ain't biting, go smaller.
Oh, that's a different piece of advice. Yeah.
Uncle Myron gives you a lot of advice.
He didn't tell Tony that.
Something must have worked because now you're expecting a kid.
Yes.
We need a fish biologist.
We do.
Yes. Like, answer the question. Can fish smell? Can fish taste?
Oh, I know the answer to those. It's both yes. But,
yeah, right. Yeah.
And I think that the denser water and scuba diving.
That cold water, yeah.
I scuba dive, and I've been ice diving. And I will tell you that there are certain times when that water looks like jelly in front of your mask. It's almost ready to freeze. And when you're in an environment like that, smell doesn't move. Things don't move. I mean, just like, all right, I'm going to use a beer analogy. You know that really crappy kind of beer that comes in a can where the mountains turn blue? It's so cold you can't taste it. That's why they're like, oh, such a great cold, cold, cold beer. You know, I'm a beer man and I make beer. So I'll tell you that if you can't drink it warm, it's not good beer. Okay. And when I say warm, I'm only talking like 50 degrees here. I'm not talking, you know, busting a sweat. but cold masks flavor. And that follows up my theory of fish and flavors or aromas on them and stuff. But oxygen is a big thing. Now, I've been looking on the internet, and there's sensors out there, Steph.
I would think that fish could smell because, like, the steelhead will return back to their streams where they were planted and such. And that water is very cold when it's coming down the streams. I mean, it could be, you know, 37, 38, 36 degrees.
But you're talking a whole stream.
It up the river.
Right.
You're talking a whole wide stream here. Now, all that water is going to smell the same.
Well, not to that.
The whole stream, the whole stream full, I'm saying. So they get to the mouth of a river and it smells right. Up they go.
Well, some of them will hold to like certain feeder creeks that come into the river, and they might go off to that direction or whatever. So they do kind of know where they're going.
Little plastic jig dipped in something.
Also, we're talking about different species of fish.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about a migratory fish that's built for that versus a bluegill. Maybe not quite so adventurous in his travels.
Yeah. He goes from left side of lake to right side of lake, up and down, depending on if he can breathe well.
Steelhead are a magnificent creature with all kinds of special tricks.
Now, I've been looking on the internet about back to oxygen. They have loggers, data loggers, and sensors and such, but I think they all have commas in the prices.
I bet.
They're priced right up around that new Markham RT9, and not in our budget.
Won't be getting one of those anytime soon.
But if there's a guy out there that's got a lab, you know, and you got an old oxygen sensor with a long rope, long cord on it or something, well, let us know. We'd love to take you out fishing. I'll bring some beer. We got some jigs. We got everything. We'd love to see what the oxygen levels are. And I'm probably going to write an article about all the different, how many milligrams per liter of oxygen do you think, Anthony, it takes to have a panfish survive in it?
I have no idea.
It's about 30 milligrams.
I was going to guess seven. So
seven is nearing fatal kill zone.
I would imagine they'd be about dead.
If you guys do some Googling, there is a lot of information out there on this. Unfortunately, the instruments to go actually measure that stuff, really expensive. And
but like you said, it's got to correlate with temperature, and temperature sensors are a lot less expensive.
Yeah, I've actually been looking into what kind of temperature sensor I can get that's waterproof that we can send down on
the
line.
Find the thermal, the transitions.
Yeah.
So. And that's a good thing you could do in your boat as your pre-scouting.
Yeah, and sometimes you can even see
thermal cleanse.
Sometimes you can even see those on your fish finders.
You definitely can.
Yep.
You definitely
they do
can,
show
especially
up.
Especially when I'm perch fishing, you can see a row of static, say in like 40 to 50 feet.
Yeah.
Somewhere about it midway varies, down to three quarters of the way down.
Well, that's that extra dense water that's causing a reflection.
Just a little bit of interference there, yeah.
And
you can see above and below it. And then, lo and behold, either above and below that, you're getting your bites.
Yeah. So, oxygen, it's another. There's your science moment from the MII's guys. A little bit of knowledge for you. Give you something to talk about at the bar, if nothing else. But anyway, we're going to come back and give you some advice on how to choose a lake. What kind of lakes do you pick? And we're all going to voice in on this one.
One that's frozen.
It's frozen.
And fishy.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, guys. Chaz here from the MII's Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. We're the MII's Guys, and we're back to talk about selecting a lake. Now, a lot of times we're tournament fishing, especially Anthony, and he is focused on a certain lake. But for those of us that hang around Michigan and don't get to go to Metagoshi and Montana and
Should take the time and go there.
Wisconsin and everywhere else. Dakota, yeah, just living Minnesota. Living the life of the NAIFC team of the year.
Hey, it's not all
we have to pick out lakes here around home. We have a lot of lakes. How do you know which lake's going to be good for ice fishing? Well, I think my first clue is, was it good for pan fishing in the summer? Hmm. Are there pan fish in that lake? You know, we've talked about scouting. We've talked about depths. We've talked about oxygen, plant life, things like that. I think we've given you all the contributing factors on evaluating a lake. Now, I grew up down Middleville way, and we have some deep kettle lakes down there. Not really ice fishing lakes, okay? They're 90-some feet deep and only about 80 feet across. Probably not the best place to go out and see if you can find some suspended crappie. They're just not going to be there. Now, if you're smelt fishing, we might have a different game on there going to some of the deeper lakes. But for panfish, I mean, Anthony, what when you just grab the map and start looking at lakes, what's your first sign that you go? I mean, you're going to, when I say map, you're looking at Navionics.
Yeah, when I find a lake, I want to, okay, so most of the time I just end up wandering onto a lake. I very rarely will research a map and be like, maybe this lake here. I'll be driving by a lake a few times or somebody will mention it or I've heard of it a few times. So I just decide to go out there and try it. When I'm looking at maps, I typically don't ever look at a map to find a lake. I'm always looking at a. Well, it's gonna be very contradictive, but if I've heard of the lake, I'll look at the map to find it, and then I'll go to it. Obviously.
Welcome to meeting Anthony.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Contradiction.
Yeah.
But now, Steph, I mean, you live kind of in a really rich area of lakes.
Yeah.
A lot of them have resort homes around them.
Yeah, we got shallow lakes up there. And we have some that are the deep, the basin lakes, and some that have a transition between the two. And we fish some of the, you know, Croton and Hardy, some of your ponds, your reservoir fishing. So you're going to have current to contend with and all kinds of conditions up there.
But I think one of the big things is looking at a lake and figuring out, you know, if I go to a lake and I don't see anybody that seems to have, you know, a fishing atmosphere around the lake, it's probably a pass.
Yeah, I mean, if I see some people out on a lake that I've never fished, I'm going to wander.
Yeah.
And eventually I'm going to wander out there.
You drive by the lake and see 100 people out there fishing. You're like,
ooh,
I better get out there because I'm probably missing something.
I'm missing out. Yep.
Yeah. And the guy that takes the time to put up maybe a wooden shack out there, he probably knows something about a lake.
Yeah.
Now, I also, you know, I avoid the really deep lakes, obviously. I also kind of avoid the really shallow ones. Now, early ice, I can make an exception and sneak into some of those. But as we talked about, you know, if there's not enough water underneath it, how much oxygen can it really hold? And how long are the fish going to be there? And really, if it's not a very deep lake, how big are the fish really going to get? I think we were, Steph and I, around 4th of July, we went off fishing at a lake that was pretty shallow, but it had a couple of deep holes in it and a lot of weed growth. And we're not going to mention names, but I think this winter we're going to be out on that lake and checking it out because we did a lot of scoping out there. We had the graph going, figuring out where these different depths are and where the changes are, where the breaks are. There's one real dramatic wall there that I think could really produce. Mm-hmm. I think you just got to go do some studying.
And a lot of it, if I'm going to pick a lake, it's, you know, what do I want to fish for that day? What exactly do I want to do? Do I want to go look for trophy fish? Do I want to catch some fish for the freezer? Am I with some kids just to catch some fish? You know, there's a lot of contributing factors.
Put them on high numbers.
Yeah, you know, kids don't care about how big the fish are. Just like, I caught another one. Mm-hmm. You know, awesome. You know, it was the greatest time ever.
Sounds like guys with palm rods.
Yeah. No. touche.
But anyway, there's a lot of things out there, and I think that driving by and seeing shacks on that, you know, or guys that are out there, it's a very big clue. Watch what the neighbors do. Now, for a selfless plug, the ice map. If you see guys reporting ice thicknesses, you know somebody's going there. If they're taking the time to report that thickness, they've drilled a hole.
Yep.
They're probably going to be, they're probably fishing there. They probably know something, or they know somebody that's been catching fish there. Using as many of those resources as possible is very advantageous.
And a lot of times, choosing a lake, you're going to go to back to a lake that you had success on, you know, bottom line. And that's why in the earlier segment I mentioned about just going out and trying some new waters out there and expanding that selection of lakes so you have more options.
Or on my favorite bluegill spot, on my favorite bluegill lake. Now, all of a sudden, I caught a couple giant perch. Like, whoa, where did those come from? Maybe I need to explore this lake a little more, turn it upside down, and find where these big perch are. because now I can go get a bunch of bluegills and then end on a bunch of perch. And now we just had a real good day.
Exactly. Now, another thing that I have mentioned in the past episodes and such, if you don't have Navionics for a particular lake, maybe it's a small lake, a little private, maybe it's a gravel pit, whatever. Checking out the shoreline can give you a real clue. If it's all got steep wall shores and all that, it's probably going to be a deeper lake. You know, if it's a gravel pit and looks like a gravel pit, they probably mined it out. And most gravel pits go down, you know, 40, 50, 60 feet. So knowing what kind of lake it is, there's a friend of ours that lives out by Allendale. He's got a little lake out there that was an old gravel pit. I don't think they mined that thing with a crane. I think they mined it with a bulldozer. It's shallow, long, and narrow.
Yeah.
It's a great bass lake. But panfish, it's a bummer. There's not much happening on that lake. But some other lakes that we've frequented over the years have maybe one steep bank and one shallow bank. Now, that means transition to me. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity in that lake. And if you can figure it out, if you don't have Navionics, like Anthony says, drill, drill, drill.
Back to the transition thing, you know, there's a stage in which fish are shallow, are middle, are deep, too. So, you know, definitely come to the seminar on the 1st and let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I think we might need a dry erase board or some graphics.
Definitely.
I'll bring the projector and get a graphic.
I'll build the PowerPoint.
Get on that, will you? But anyway, choosing a lake is a good start. Getting the right equipment, pumping up your knowledge, doing some scouting. I think we've given you some good preseason things to get work done. Come to our seminars. We'll be talking about more of it. And
bring your questions.
Bring your questions.
Please, please, please ask questions.
Yeah. Ask questions. Walk up to us afterwards and chat with us. There's nothing we like more. That's why we do this show. We get to talk about ice fishing.
I'll have my jig boxes. We'll have some palm rods to show you, a lot of overseas stuff. But mainly, I mean, all my competition jigs, you'll get to see everything I use.
Hey, I might even have some palm rods to sell.
Uh-oh.
We'll pass them around the room for you.
A few.
See
a few.
What
you get back. I'm not gonna piss the vendors off, but I might have a few of these Europeans that I picked up just to be able to sell at our seminars to some of you guys that want that little advantage of having one more tool in your arsenal.
Some MI Ice Guys exclusives right there.
Yep. And I even got some special jigs to put on them.
Uh-oh.
Depending on what you want
to
pay.
I'll have to approve those and make sure that...
They may have come from far, far away.
From the Ukraine.
Some the Ukraine. But we're the MI Ice Guys, and we've been having a blast talking ice fishing with you. So, guys, keep a lookout for that ice. Post it on the ice map when you start to see that skim ice. Get the word out. You may see us showing up, equipment in hand, ready to drill some holes and jigs for some fish. Keep your stick on the ice, boys. It'll be a great winter. We just got to wait for it.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.